Did you know that with Now TV, we can watch Game of Thrones, The Handmaid's Tale and Westworld?
Really?
Yeah. So that's romance, friendship, corruption, family feuds, war, weddings, betrayal, drama and dragons.
All that in three shows?
No, that's just Game of Thrones. Grab a Now TV Entertainment Pass and stream over 300 box sets. To start your 7-day free trial, search Now TV. 18 plus, new customers only. Pass renews at $7.99 per month unless cancelled.
Initiate Orphans Trailer.
Welcome to The Orphans.
It's Baz Gilroy.
Baz Gilroy.
Hello. I am Geometrically Fabricated and Functional Reasoning Unit, but you can call me Jeffrey.
You know what they're going to do to me?
That's what I am to them out there. Just a spill on the floor that needs wiping up, aren't I?
But I will not stay here and witness your stupidity.
You do nothing but pretend. You don't care about me.
Get up. He's going to find us if we don't move.
The Orphans.
The Orphans.
The Orphans.
The Orphans. Facility. Out now.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
So what do we want to talk about for the first episode of Con Month?
So we do have some guest announcements for Anime Boston, of course. We also have, you know, our announcements that Hardcore Anime, Waifu, and Who Cringe Last are all going to be at AB this year.
Yep. But we need a topic.
All right.
We need something. Something to go on.
Something goofy and convention related.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like... So Greg's never done this before, and he's actually going to initiate what is Con Month at the beginning of the podcast, just so we can explain it to anybody who might be listening for the first time. But usually we try to do something like our best con horror stories, or why we hate AMVs, or like things like that.
Or why we hate people who like anime.
Why we hate anime convention goers. We've said some pretty horrible things about conventions during Con Month.
But people still seem to listen to it. Yeah.
Actually, this would be perfect for
why Deadpool should not be in conventions anymore.
Why Deadpool and Harley Quinn are
and Darth Vader.
Yes.
And Darth Vader, yeah.
Detective Pikachu.
But Darth Vader's not annoying. Deadpool and Harley Quinn are annoying.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 160. I am your stupid, awesome analyst, John Starr. And with me is the hard man with our opinions, AFLM.
Hi.
And we have security guy Greg.
Hola.
And our king baby duck Evan.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches.
And that's
it's Con Month!
So I came back right in time for Con Month.
I know. Yeah, so it's time for Con Month again.
You know, I have a great question. What is Con Month?
So this is Greg's.
You have a Greg question?
This is Greg's first Con Month. So we are. For those of you who might be joining us with Greg's presence, we talk about conventions because it's the month leading up to us going to Anime Boston, our favorite event of the year.
Yeah, and so we kind of created this tradition of doing a month of podcasting, talking about convention culture and everything that goes along with it, leading up to Anime Boston, because in our universe, Anime Boston's the only convention that matters. So for everybody else who's just like, I already went to Anime Expo, or I already went to this convention, or I already went to Anime Chicago, then, you know, that doesn't matter because it's our Con Month.
Is there an Anime Chicago?
It's called, people are going to be like, yeah, it's called this one, and I know
it's C2E2, I believe.
That's not, is that C2E2, really?
That's not an anime one, though, is it?
No, that's a Las Vegas one. Derp.
I forget. Chicago has, like, the reason why I said Chicago is because it has, like, a really famous one, I thought, and I just couldn't think of it.
There is.
Does Idaho have a...
Potato Con.
Yeah.
I believe it's called... Anime Midwest.
Okay. Yeah.
ASIN is the other one, too.
ASIN. A-Central. Yeah, Anime Central.
Anime Central, Anime ASIN. Midwest.
Okay, yeah.
Con Alt Delete, Chicago. That's Comic Con.
Yeah, I've been thinking about signing up for a couple Comic Cons to do Artist Alley lately.
That is a very clever name for a con. Con Alt Delete. I like that a lot.
Where's that one? Is that one in Chicago?
That's in Chicago, yeah.
That's like a Comic Con.
Okay.
But anyways, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Anime Boston!
Yeah, because Anime Boston's coming up, so now it's Con Month. It's Arkham.
But more traditionally, this time of year, there are more conventions around this time. Kineticon happens. There's some that in Florida that happen. That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But today, so for those of you who also don't know, that we focus on a specific kind of part of a convention, and one that we've never really talked about up until this point. We are always trying to look for new things to talk about. We're going to talk about being a part of the con culture.
Yeah, we've always been doing these like part twos.
Yeah,
for this.
So for this one, it's we're talking about people who almost kind of live their life by conventions,
mm-hmm.
And what goes into being a part of that culture. And, you know, we kind of did something like it a couple of years ago when we talked about the different kinds of people who go to conventions.
Well, and this is really interesting because we're kind of being introduced into this portion of culture with the Wicked Anime Podcast. And we're not doing press this year. That was one thing that came around with Anime Boston. Is as far as Wicked Anime goes, Boston Bass Brigade is going to be there doing press.
Yeah, I'll be there doing press. But, hopefully, I'm still waiting on my confirmation.
Yeah,
isn't it weird that like I'm waiting on that, and I already got my confirmation for Anime Expo, which is like months away.
Yeah, which is actually pretty rad. But. We've decided this year that Wicked Anime is not going to do press, and we're going to focus on our panels, and we're going to focus on having a fun time while going, mm-hmm. For one reason or another, whatever. But so we're out of that sort of convention culture, now moving towards the panel convention culture, which is really interesting. And we'll talk about that in the upcoming topic.
Yeah.
Yes. First.
Yeah. So, Evan, you have something for us.
All right, folks, we're going to play a little game called What's in the Box?
What's in the box?
So I just recently received a package, and it was a package of something that Wicked Anime itself would be very interested in. Huh. So we're going to do this in a sort of yes and no 20 questions sort of setup, and these guys have to guess what's in the box.
Yeah, you introduced this to this concept on the... on the Wicked Anime chat that we have, and we're just like, I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to find out right now.
So you want us to ask you questions.
Yes, yes and no questions.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
Yes. So that's question number one. That's question number one.
Is it alive?
No.
Okay, it's not moving.
So
okay.
It's bigger than a box, but it's not alive.
And it's also a dead person.
Is it a fake rock?
No.
A fake rock?
Sorry, I'm looking up stuff because I'm trying to find Midas, my pet rock.
Oh. Is this pop culture relevant?
I would say yes.
Is it a show that you talk about frequently?
Yes.
Is it Konosuba related?
No.
Ooh.
I
don't know what else he talks about frequently.
Well, I would. My other guess would be Hayate the Combat Butler. Is it Hayate the Combat Butler related?
Nope.
No.
My guess would be something about horse girls.
I'm keeping track on my hands. We're at seven, so we still have. Okay. Is it? Oh, geez. I don't even know what to ask anymore.
It
we have to let it out of the box or it's going to die.
Is it edible?
No.
Is it a plush doll?
Yes.
Oh.
And it's not Konosuba.
Is it Naruto? No, that's not my question. No, that's not my question.
Don't ask that. You're going to waste one.
It's a plush. So it's a plush, and it's from a show...
That's not Konosuba.
That's not Konosuba, but frequently talked about.
I bet you there's somebody on, like, who listens to our show that's, like, already has the answers. Like, just say it!
Is it a female character?
Yes. So we're at 10 questions right now.
And that doesn't get us any closer. Obviously, it's a female
character. But it also cuts out all and any male characters. So now we can just say, is it this one? Is it this one?
Does this female character like to go camping?
No.
Damn it.
Does this female character have a specific hobby, though?
No.
Oh, that was my ace in the hole, darn it.
Does this female character kill things?
No.
Oh.
She seems really bland.
Does this female character have blue hair?
No.
Don't go through the spectrum of colors. We're going to run out of...
But it's not Aqua from... Yeah. From Konosuba. But it's not Konosuba related, that. Yeah.
How many colors are in the spectrum? Like, over 300, right?
I don't know.
Well, according to computers, it's 256 by 256.
But we could totally do it.
But if you have high, but if you have a high-res monitor, it's 65 million plus. So...
How long can this podcast go on for?
Well, only 20 questions.
Yeah, we only have 6 questions left.
All right.
Is this character modestly dressed?
I'm going to say yes.
You should see Andrew's face.
He's kind of shaky on that one. So, okay, we have 5 questions left.
Okay.
You should have saw Andrew's face on that.
let's see. Does this character have animal ears?
Yes.
Is this character? Did the show come out this year?
No.
Did the show come out 10 years ago?
No.
Now you're burning through questions.
Is it Spice and Wolf?
No.
Okay, so one more question.
No, that doesn't count as a question if it's a guess.
Yes, it is.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. We're trying to guess a character, and he named a show.
Yeah, but if you're guessing, that shouldn't count as a question towards your guess.
No, it does, though. It does.
That seems
okay,
weird.
We have one more question left, and it's an animal girl.
And the show didn't come out this year.
Oh, man. But it also didn't come out 10 years ago.
So...
This is stupid. This is making me so frustrated.
So I have a guess. I have a guess, but I don't wanna so can we make our final guesses after we ask the
20th question, yes.
20th question. Mm-hmm. Is the show a slice of life?
No.
Okay.
Oh, then so, I kinda
wanna make Horse Girls guess, man.
Okay, so you want to take a guess?
So okay, yeah. So now, okay, all final guesses, and Evan will we'll all get our own final guess, right. And everybody say, and Evan can say who's right.
I want to say it's a character from Kimono Friends,
and you want to say it's a character from.
I'm probably way off, but Horse Girls, just because we have to keep the streak alive.
All right, and I am going to say, I have no idea.
You have no idea. You've run out of Animal Girls.
Yeah, it
what?
Definitely.
No.
Yeah, of course I've run out. I don't know.
You know how many animes you've watched? There has to be another Animal Girl.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, which one Evan is talking about at all.
That's why it's called a guess, man. Come on!
And that's what I'm trying to... I can't think of any Animal Girls that I've seen that he hasn't seen. And it has... Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man. Okay. Do you have your Facebook Messenger open?
Yeah.
Dun, dun. Insert Jeopardy music. Yep. I have no idea who that
That's
is.
That's a horse girl.
I knew it!
It's special week.
Yes.
Oh, why is it so cute? So it exists. It finally exists. Where did you get this?
I got it off of Amazon, dude, for really? $35.
Oh my gosh, it's so cute. Oh man, everybody's gonna be like, I want to see that. Oh. Look how cute.
So what's my prize?
Being the right person.
Derek's not even on this episode, but he's talking.
He's with us in spirit.
Look at them eyes, and look at the detail here. Look at the sash. Oh, come on,
man.
So this doll, for people who obviously can't see the pictures, it's a plushie with what, purple eyes. She has like white bangs kind of hanging down to her right side
week.
Of her head.
Yeah, it's special.
Yeah. Well, not everybody would know what the plushie looks like.
Yeah, but yeah, I know it's one of the but they would know that if you say it's one of the laying down plushies. Those have been like a huge, because they're for claw machines.
Yeah,
they're arcade.
Like, yeah, these are arcade prizes. So you put them into the claw machines and people grab them and. So they had one of Darkness, they basically had one of all of Konosuba cast, and then they've had Hikari from Interview with Monster Girls,
yep.
And for those of you who don't know, the reason why this is such a significant moment in time for us is because Evan had vowed that if there was ever a Horse Girls plushie in any capacity, he would own it. And
yeah, the time because remember in that episode, that guy comes up and goes, hey, look at all this neat merch I bought. I'm like, don't you fucking toy with me.
It's very cute. Everybody should check that out. Look up the special week prize plushie. And those would be in the Sega. I think these are made by Sega.
These are the Sega ones. There is a Sega logo in here.
Yeah, so if whenever you go to the Sega arcades in Akihabara... Akihabara, mm-hmm. You'll find those claw machines with those kinds of laying down big head plushies. And I got to go and I got to see, and there was like Love Live ones everywhere because Love Live was huge when I was in Tokyo. So now they have special week ones. That's awesome.
Yep, they have special week, and they also have Silent Suzuka.
I figured as much, but no vodka, I'm guessing.
No vodka. Those are the only two they
have. Yeah, she was just a side character. So.
Wait, they named a horse girl Vodka?
Yeah, she's a real horse girl. It's a real horse. You have to remember that every horse in the show was based off of a real horse.
Was this real horse, was it a Russian horse? First thing I think of Vodka is Russian.
No, she was Japanese.
What?
Well, I mean,
yeah, all these horses in Numa Musume are all Japanese horses.
Hmm. All right. Well done, Japan. I like it.
And that was our very first edition of What's in the Box?
What's in the Box?
What's in the Box?
And, you know, I think I'm maybe bringing Special Week with me to Anime Boston. I feel like it's a necessity, you know, especially with a couple of the panels that you're going to be hosting.
It truly is going to be a special week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. The puns are real.
Special weekend. That wasn't a horse, though.
Special weekend?
No, what? That's what happens when Special Week passed away. Special weekend.
Oh!
Yeah. Wow.
That was brutal.
That there. But she did pass away, so it's kind of true. She's blue now.
You know what I find hilarious is the fact that Greg mentioned horse girls during the 8th question, and none of you were like, oh, why don't we ask this one?
Yeah, because I was like, no, that's... stupid. No, he wouldn't have a special week plushie. I haven't heard anything about this.
Well, I brought it up because Derek is like so keen on keeping the streak alive. So while he's not here, I have to mention Horse Girls, and I thought it just made sense that Evan would get something.
Well, I would have thought that Evan would have wanted to keep this so under wraps that he didn't tell us that he ordered one. Like, how could you keep that a secret from us for so long, Evan?
I kept it secret for the past 3 weeks.
What? Brutal. So you kept it a secret even on the podcast that I returned on.
I never would have been able to do that.
That's impressive.
I would not have been able to do that.
It's thank you very much. He lives on the opposite side of the state than we do, so.
All right, so time to ring the news bell.
Oh, no! There it is. There she is. Yes. Thanks, News Beltran. You...
insert whistle.
It's very important that News Beltran is rang during Anime Boston Con month because we were given News Beltran at a convention. In fact, at Anime Boston.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's probably one of the most significant guests we've ever gotten.
Yeah. Yes. I guess so. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Fanny.
Granted,
Gerardo has given us stuff from Anime Expo.
Oh my gosh, Gerardo has given us a lot of really cool stuff. So especially, actually, I mean,
we've gotten some great stuff.
Yeah, so like us. Our fans have sent us a lot of really cool stuff. We didn't,
but this one we can.
But
use on
but
the show.
Yeah, but Newsbell-chan was specifically given to us from Anime Boston.
Gerardo stuff hangs on the walls.
Yeah, Gerardo,
right this. Over here. I'm pointing at it right now.
Looks great,
and
that's great for radio.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
so I rang the news bell, so that yes. means that Evan has to go now.
Yes, I have the first piece of news. Psychopaths getting a third season.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't even finished watching the first one. I have started, though.
That's kind of came out of nowhere because, I mean, it's been a long time since season two.
And a movie.
And
yep, movie. Psychopaths, two seasons, a movie, a video game.
Oh yeah, that's right. It did have a video game. You couldn't mm-hmm. create your own character, though, so it was like, eh. Not like that Sword Art Online one.
That everybody played.
Oh. Poor Sword Art Online.
Same with that Shinobi Strikers game, too.
Oh! I have that at home.
And you've like never
I played it for like 5 minutes before I had to go somewhere. And then I got a cool computer, and then I never touched it again. Oh, that hurts. That's a $60 thing that I'm never getting back. Oof.
Womp womp.
Yeah, and apparently the customization was really good.
No, it wasn't.
Well,
I
so
looked at the customization.
Well, so the character customization only gets cool when you unlock everything.
Yeah.
The initial character that you create is not cool. But then you have to unlock everything from Naruto history to make your character cool.
Yeah.
And then the gameplay is just cheeks. So.
Cheeks?
Ass.
Oh.
So
the only reason why you play the game is so you can unlock custom characters.
Yeah, and the gameplay is really broken.
Yeah.
So, that sucks.
Yeah. Speaking of really broken games, everybody got to play that Jump Force?
Oh!
I just heard terrible things about it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was really released. Is it released or is it just demo?
It was released in April or May.
It was a polished version of All-Stars.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's all it really was.
Yeah, I did hear about that and... Yeah, they introduced Kenshiro to the game. I was like, oh, that's cool. Kenshiro's back into it. And then it's like, and then I didn't even realize people could play it. That was one of the strange things. We were talking about Psycho Pass.
Yeah, we were talking about Psycho Pass. That season that's airing later this year.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, so that's a really short turnaround time.
Cool. More cyberpunk action.
Yep.
We need more cyberpunk.
Cool.
Okay. And another show that's getting a new season in 2020 is a show that aired back in 2017 called Tsugumomo. Now, Tsugumomo was a show that was about this like demon that was kept within this weird cloth, and this boy was able to like use her to fight these super really cool powers. It was very edgy, very perverted, pretty funny. It kind of like escaped the radar of many, many folks. I think I was the only one in the Wicked Anime group that watched it. And
I watched the first couple episodes of it.
Okay. But it's getting a second season in 2020, and it crowdfunded for an uncensored OVA, which has already made triple the money on the crowdfunding site that they were raising.
Oh, is Tsugumomo the one with the girl with the blue hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember this.
The person who plays the girl with the blue hair is the same person who plays Satania in Gabriel Dropout, and that's kind of why I started watching it, because her as a voice actress.
She is a good voice actress.
It didn't help the show at all.
Honestly, I honestly hated her in Cheese School Road.
Yeah.
Like, I thought her voice is funny, but... I prefer her as a character like Satania, where Satania's kind of cute in her obnoxiousness, where Chi is obnoxious in her obnoxiousness.
Same with Tsugumomo. Tsugumomo is super obnoxious, too.
Mm.
You know who she was really good as? Is that in the show Momokuri, where she played Kurihara's best friend.
Momokuri?
That was the one that was like, what's that? It's Momo Straw. The hell's the matter with you? Remember, it was the couple, but the girl, like kept taking like all the stuff, like especially his trash and.
No, I don't remember this at all.
You don't remember, dude? It was like one of the funniest shows of like summer 2016. I want to say.
Huh, Momokuri. She's in a lot of shows that have Momo in it.
Yeah.
Peach something.
Cool, but yeah, Tsugumomo getting a second season. I'm personally excited. I don't know if any of the other guys are.
Well, maybe I'll watch it and
on VRV. Who am I kidding? I won't. I've only been watching two shows on VRV this season. It's Promised Neverland and Shield Hero. I pretty much dropped the other ones, but I'll try to watch the other ones. But I haven't even caught up on the other on last season. I didn't finish last season. That's really bugging me.
This isn't the right section to be talking
about. I know that.
But
I'm talking about adding new shows that I'm going to watch. I'm like, what? What are you, nuts? You have professional art to do.
You see, he draws what he's watching on the screen.
Sometimes.
He has done that before.
I have done that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time.
Oof, no way. Can't read subtitles and draw.
That would be fun.
I'd totally miss the whole show.
All right, next piece of news?
Yes, please.
Konosuba is getting its own official tabletop role-playing game.
Fantastic.
So I imagine it's going to be kind of like Star Wreck.
Yeah.
But D&D Star Wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where for those of you who aren't familiar with Star Wreck, it is a Star Trek role-playing game parody where everything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah, like, and it's the health system in the game is how many red shirts are around you.
And so when all the red shirts die, you die?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. That's how I imagine Konosuba, because Konosuba is literally a D&D parody where everything is just the worst. Actually, it's almost like playing a real, true, perfect game of D&D.
Yeah, right.
Where all your party members are just dicking around with each other. that's not how my D&D games have gone as of recent.
But you hear stories.
Yeah, but you do make cool stories out of it. This is just more D&D, but Konosuba in that kind of sense. So
I play it.
Oh, I would totally play it.
I mean,
me too. Like, I was like, say, hey, someone translate this for me. It's a 320-page book.
Oh, so man.
Imagine, like, how much detail is being placed in it.
Just be like, hey, manga gamer, go to our manga gamer friends and be like, hey, you guys have translated way more words than this.
Yeah.
Do it.
Actually, that would be, I mean, if they get it done by episode 200, that would be our.
Well, manga gamer hasn't. Yeah, that's true. Episode 200, we could play the Konosuba role-playing game. Oh, man. But Manga Gamer hasn't delved into print media yet. Maybe we should recommend that to them. Just be like, hey.
Hey, you should try
that. You guys should make a PDF version of this, and people will buy it for role-playing reasons.
Hey, that's pretty good.
But
I'd buy that for a dollar.
But the Konosuba property and licensing is owned by a different company, so.
Well, I'm thinking that's why Yen Press might actually be the one to translate it, since they do the light novel and manga.
Mm. Interesting. That's a good idea.
Mm.
Send them an email. You got the in.
Yeah.
No, I don't have a press contact with Yen Press.
I should. I draw enough of their work.
All right.
That's a fun one. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Mm. Somebody's going to translate it. Somebody's got it.
Somebody has to translate it.
I don't know. I don't know. That seems like. It's so niche, because we're like the only ones that really talk about Konosuba. Everybody's just like, what's Konosuba? Oh, it's the funniest anime I've ever seen. So
only 40 more episodes till we can play it.
Yeah. Right. Countdown begins.
That's 80 weeks.
That's 80 weeks.
Keeping track.
Yeah. So hurry up.
The next year and a half.
All right, so apparently Hello Kitty is being given the movie treatment. Hello Kitty has been announced that there will be a Warner Brothers produced movie.
What?
Oh.
No way.
Like Warner Brothers Japan?
Nope, Warner Brothers America.
Oh.
How is that going to work? That's like, I mean, people...
Hey, remember, people said Lego movie. How is that going to work?
That's true. But my thought on it is that Hello Kitty is known as a brand, you know?
Yeah.
Think about all the Hello Kitty cartoons that have come out. They could do something like that.
Yeah, but those are all in Japan. I mean, like...
They brought it over to America. Yeah, I just bought a couple for my niece for her birthday.
But who remembers that? Like, people have backpacks and, like, notebooks with Hello Kitty on them, but nothing else.
You know what we need? More Gretzko. Give me more of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's getting popular, so you may be getting your wish.
Well, I think... Wait, there's a second season coming, isn't there?
Yep, season 2.
Yes. I just want to hear you say it.
Best feel good.
Best anime of the year. That was best anime of 2017. Mm-hmm.
No.
2018. What did...
No, Uma Musume won for Anime of the Year.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Gretzko was the best, though.
That was best favorite. Short. Best short anime.
What's next?
So, apparently, Laidback Camp has been seen as the reason why more people are camping in Japan.
Excellent.
We kind of already talked about this.
Yes, but recently, the Yamanashi Prefecture announced that because of this anime, more people have been coming into the area to start camping.
Well, we can attest to those facts, because remember there was that time where we thought about almost maybe going camping because we watched?
Yeah. And then I was like, oh yeah, I hate camping.
Yeah.
That's the same.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so with me hating camping and then kind of considering, maybe it'd be fun to camp. And then I woke up and I was just like, oh, right, this is reality where camping is an awful experience and I hate camping. And so
I don't want to sleep on the ground. That's why I work. That's from a stand-up comedian. We didn't take credit for that.
I figured.
Bill Engvall joke.
It was one of the contestants on the last season of Last Comic Standing. Family remembers that show.
But anyway, so the stats for hired camping rates is pretty cool because of Laidback Camp. Hopefully that means that they got real product and funding from actual camping supplies, but maybe more people are gonna be like, well, if this show is making people go and camping, maybe I want to fund this show to get more product, my product placement into the show, and then we get even more seasons of Laidback Camp.
Wouldn't be a bad idea. I mean, we're already getting the second season, a movie, a little mini series that I think is based off of the Heia Camp, or you know, the club camp guys.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it is shown in its bent. It is a very popular property. I will say this. I don't know if you guys saw what someone had posted on the Flork of Cows group on Facebook about Secret Society Blanket. I made the comment of saying that Laidback Camp was better than A Place Further Than the Universe. And apparently people were pissed off when I said that.
Why? It's true.
Oh, it is true!
I watched both all the way through, and I enjoyed Place Further Than the Universe, but I loved Eurocamp.
I did not. It was boring. And
I thought it was good. I thought Place Further Than the Universe...
Yeah, it was a good show, but it wasn't memorable like Laidback Camp was.
Well, it's memorable enough for them to make an android of the main girl crying at the computer because she's found all the emails from her mom.
Yeah.
For her dead mom. I can't believe they actually did that.
Well, see, when you guys sent that over to me, first I had to think about what anime that was from, and I was like, oh yeah, the Antarctica anime. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that now it's spoiled for me. And then I was like, well, I mean, if she hasn't seen her mom in years, I mean, what did she expect after going to Antarctica? So
yeah, no, everybody knew what the ending was, but it was just... It was the emotion of her coming to that realization. You were on that journey with her, and it was up until that point, you waited 11 episodes, and every episode you were going, come on, you just gotta accept it.
Yeah. Speaking of endings, by the way, yes. Evan and I finished Girls Last Tour, and we'll be talking about that in...
Yeah, we'll talk about this after the news, because I feel like this last little piece of movie news before we get into a segment that we haven't done in a little while... Because apparently they have leaked footage or pictures of what the live-action Sonic the Hedgehog is going to be. And I think this is how people reacted to it. Huh.
It just keeps going.
That sounds a lot like con culture from last episode.
And, yeah, and the fandom.
I will stop making that joke when it's no longer funny.
I think even you sent us a news story that even...
Yeah, Yuji Naka, the creator of Sonic the Hedgehog himself, said, what the fuck is this?
It looks pretty bad. And
it looks awful!
And... It's not that it looks bad because...
don't justify
it. Yeah, no, I'm not trying to justify
it. You know how bad... You know what it reminds me? Have you guys ever seen footage of the live-action Woody Woodpecker movie?
No, I have not.
It is It'll make you an atheist, let me put it to you that way.
Some of us were trying to keep that buried, Evan.
So, the way I view the Sonic the Hedgehog movie is everybody's up in arms and outraged by it, but I was just like, yeah, of course. Like, duh.
Obviously it's going to look like
that. Why didn't you guys think it was going to look like
Obviously
this?
It's going to look like My Roommate Sonic. If nobody knows what My Roommate Sonic is, go on YouTube and watch Let's Plays of My Roommate Sonic.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's really funny. But I just, people expected, I don't know what people expected. Like, we knew it was going to be bad when we heard, like, oh, live action Sonic movie. It was like, how could it be any good? There was,
dude, have you guys ever seen the short one that had that he brought Jalel White to actually voice Sonic again for? And, like, Nostalgia Critic and Angry Video Game Nerd make cameos in it as well?
No.
It's actually pretty decent.
What's that called?
It's based, I think it's just called Sonic the Movie. I think it's on YouTube.
Huh.
Original.
Different than Sonic X the Movie?
Different than Sonic X the Movie.
Because that one was actually an anime.
Yeah, and it was actually just a long episode. Because it ended in To Be Continued.
Can we talk about the fact that they separated his eyes in the live action version?
Well, so
I don't like that.
They said that they were going to do that from the beginning. And
I thought it was a fake threat.
If you don't change it in any way, then all you have is Sonic 06. That's all you have. The video game where Sonic is in the real world with real people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I understand that, but
But that's all it is that you just have, like, this blue animated Sonic, like, hedgehog character with real
I still think
people.
That they could have spent a little bit time on development. Like, they had that pre-picture, that pre, like, from a long time ago. Like,
yeah, the one with Chris Pratt, which actually looked pretty decent.
Where he's, like, a police officer?
Chris
Pratt. Yes.
Yeah, and, I don't know, man. We still haven't seen any footage of what this is gonna look like. It's just been preparations of reveals. And I don't know why for Sonic they're doing reveals. It's just strange. Right? I mean, nobody else finds this strange that it's a movie that nobody asked for and nobody cares about. And they're not releasing any of the...
I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, I've been a fan of Sonic since I was a little kid, and the thought of a live-action Sonic the Hedgehog should be exciting me. But the more I see of this, the more my inner child is just fucking dying.
Well, and I mean, me too, because, I mean, Jonathan and I were both Sega kids, so...
I was too!
On Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, still the best Sonic game ever. But I don't know, man. It just, you know, I mean, Sonic is just one mistake after another, and I just, yeah.
I
that
mean,
one.
It's killing nerd boners everywhere.
I think that people had forgotten about Sonic for a very long time, because if you think back on it,
well, no, dude, because remember, Sonic Mania came out a couple of years ago, which got critical acclaim.
That was different. Sonic Mania was put together by people who actually cared about it. You have to remember,
and not Sega,
and not Sega. That's what I'm saying. Remember, all the other games were made by Sega, and they sucked. So, like, the people who made it gave up on their own property, and then Sonic Mania came along. It was almost like a fan fiction of what we were looking for. And they even had, what was his name?
Julia the animator. White.
No, Hirsch.
Alex Hirsch?
No, not Alex Hirsch.
Thank God.
the guy, he animated the opening. Oh, what's his name? he made the comic book Diesel, and before that he made Boxer Hockey.
Oh yeah.
Dang,
what is his name?
Tyson Hess. So okay. Sonic Mania was created by Tyson Hess, or not created. He did the animations for it. And Tyson Hess is an amazing animator. Like, all of his stuff is great. If you haven't seen his unfinished webcomic Boxer Hockey, kind of funny. His short series Diesel was amazing. Like, one of my most favorite comics, just from art style alone. Really good. And then he did Sonic Mania, and he did the animations for the opening. So.
Okay.
Sonic. Yeah. My heart hurts a little bit for Sonic.
Yes.
Well, at least we'll have tons and tons and tons and tons of DeviantArt.
I saw that Chris Pratt video, by the way, and I just... Yeah, I don't know. I get it with the Chris Pratt one, but it was just like, why did he agree to do that? He must have been a Sega kid too. And they were like, hey, sit down or lie down on this thing, and we're gonna put Sonic on your head. And he was like, cool. And then he probably saw him and was like, oh,
no. That's what I'm saying. That's the one that looks good. Like, that Sonic looks okay.
I don't think so. I don't
think it works. I think it looks decent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Whatever. Let's move on.
Look, compared to the other, look, compare the two. Which would you rather have?
Yeah, I know. That's Chris Pratt one.
I mean, that just looks like depression to me.
I said let's move on. I'm upset.
See? Depression.
Okay, all right. Next? Hey, guys, guess what?
What?
It's time for Fetish of the Week!
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
A brand new web anime is coming out called Miru Tights, and it's about three high school girls.
What?
And the cute little tights that they wear at school.
It's an anime, or they're making an animation on this, right?
Yes, this is an anime that is about leg fetishes.
Yeah, so specifically not a leg fetish. It's leg fetish specifically with tights.
Yes.
Like, they have to have tights on. So I'm automatically out of this.
It's mandatory.
Here's the thing that shocks me the most is that they got three incredibly talented voice actresses to play the three high school girls.
You're not kidding. This is extremely, like, it's not explicit or anything like that. There isn't even any, like, panty shots or anything like that. It's just, like, focusing on tights and, oh, man, that is awkward.
Yeah.
I don't care about tights, so it immediately turns me off to it.
This is bringing me right back to my mustard plug days.
Die high nylons.
So you're more like me, like you prefer the bear.
Yeah.
You don't prefer tight. Like, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, tights looks just kind of weird to me.
Yeah. Nope. No skin, but, no deal.
Yeah. But like,
attaboy.
But they got Yoko Hikasa, who played Stephanie Dola in No Game, No Life. They got Haruka Tamatsu. Let me see if I can pull up her. Like, she's been in, like, all the Idolmaster stuff, Bakuman, Air Gear, Anohana, Cat Planet Cuties. And then the other voice actress, Aya Suzaki, and that's one that really, again, another Idolmaster girl. iGen, Battle Girl High School, Bang Dream, Bakuman, Certain Magical Index. Like, these are people who have great portfolios for voice acting. Why the hell are they doing an anime about girls in tights?
And I just have to mention that I Google searched Miru tights just to see what was up, and I typed in Miru, and it was the first thing that came up on Google.
Really?
Yep.
Oh. Yes.
It's just like, I guess everybody's into it.
Wait, like, Miru tights?
Yeah.
Like,
Miru
look,
tights.
Like, look tights? Or, like, is
that's
that's Mite tights.
Yeah, Mite is. But Miru is, because I thought that was, like, 2C, because it's kind of like mirror. And that's how I was associated with it, I guess. I don't know.
Miru.
It just turns it into kanji. Thanks, Google.
You know, you guys keep saying tights, and all I can think about is the Robin Hood movie. Like, we're men in tights. Tights.
Round, looking for fights. Whack. We may look like Nazis, but don't get us wrong, or else we'll turn out your lights.
No, Andrew's right. Miru means to see.
Yes! Look at that. I'm studying Japanese.
Look, tights.
Yeah, that's what. So meter tights is that it look tights?
Yeah, or icy tights.
Okay, so do you think this show is going to be as cringeworthy as Show Me Your Panties with a disgusted look on your face?
I couldn't even get through that. Like, I watched.
I watched like one and a half episodes of that, and I'm like,
okay.
I've watched hentai that made me feel more comfortable than this.
Yeah, I watched two episodes, and then I started to watch the third, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. It's just the worst. And okay. Because I thought I was watching it so that we could do something about it on our show, and then I was just like, there's just nothing even here. It's just so bad.
Yeah.
But you know for a fact that there's somebody out there who is like, this is the greatest show ever made.
And he lives in Osaka someplace.
And that was Japan's fetish of the week.
No, wow. Whoa, there's more.
What?
There's another fetish we got here. Japan now has sugar romper cosplay costumes for people who want to give up on being an adult.
Oh, no.
I don't blame them.
Oh, wait.
No.
Are you ready? Here comes a link in the Facebook message chat.
Wait, hold on. Wait a minute. What are we looking up now? I have to...
This.
Did you say sugar romper?
Look at the picture. I think you might see the picture that...
Oh, you sent one?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Well, I mean...
I mean, it's cute?
Oh.
No.
Oh, man. No.
Wait, so it's made out of sugar?
No, it's just the brand. It's not made out of sugar. It's
like they took... Look, it's like they took the Lolita... Oh. They took the Lolita concept and just took the skirt away.
I'm not into that.
No.
You know,
one bit.
You have to give them kudos for trying something new.
Oh, this isn't new. This is not new.
There is actually there's a mission in Yakuza 2 where you find like members of the Yakuza who are into this fetish, and it is one of the funniest missions in the entire game. Just a bunch of like old Yakuza like on the floor and divers going goo goo ga ga goo ga ga.
Oh my gosh.
It sounds very Japanese.
Yeah.
Wow.
But now they're taking it seriously.
Not into it.
Oof.
Oof. Is that Japan's Fetish of the Week? Are we done?
That is Japan's Fetish of the Week.
Thank God.
Yikes.
I feel I think Derek is now looking at it right now, and I feel really bad.
He just has like a creepy grin on his face looking at his computer screen.
Oh, man.
Love you, buddy.
All right. So, let's talk, before we talk about what we're watching, let's talk about what we had just finished reading, which was Girls Last Tour.
Yeah, so we finally got the ending to Girls Last Tour.
Man, I'm jealous that you got to read that.
Yeah, I really don't know what we can talk about without spoiling it, because there isn't much of a spoiler to be had.
Right.
You know, this brings to mind... The way this story ends reminds me a lot of Martin McDonagh's play, The Cripple of Inishmore. And the reason why it reminds me so much is that it's not a happy ending, but it's not a sad ending. It's more of an ending of chance.
Yeah, and I just don't think it's that much of a spoiler, because it's literally what I expected the whole way through, which is... I mean, Jonathan, if you can guess it, then...
I would imagine that they didn't find anything, what they were looking for. Like, they were looking for a place where people were, right?
Yeah, and they're the last people on Earth.
Yeah.
And you know that a volume back, that they're the last people alive on Earth. They make it to their destination, there's nothing there, and they die.
Well, no,
But they don't die.
Yeah.
No, they don't die.
Like, that's... I know, it actually... Because... But that's just it. Is it like... It's just suggesting, like, okay, you're the last two people on Earth. They basically eat the rest of their food, and then they're just like, okay, let's go to sleep.
But they found that other guy at the beginning of the...
Well, they found...
Well,
there
were two people they found, yeah.
They found the woman who's the pilot, and they found the man who's the photographer.
Okay, so I never saw the pilot. I that's how far
behind I am. Oh, really? Yeah, they found a woman, and she's a pilot. They helped her build
her
airplanes.
Yeah, it was in the anime.
Yeah, she didn't finish the anime. So they helped her build an airplane so that she could fly to a new civilization, and her airplane falls to pieces, and then she parachutes out and you never see her again.
Sad.
It was really sad. Which was really strange, because all the story that you got about the world and the world building was in volume 5. And then volume 6 had nothing to advance the story. It was only more philosophy, and then it ends.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it. And so they make it to the top of the city. They make it to the highest point. There's nobody up there, and there's nobody left. And then they just they have one more little philosophy talk, and then the story ends.
Yeah.
And it's
You also see like all the places that you have been. Like yep. It's kind of revisiting.
Yeah, you at the because the story ends, and then the next four pages are just spreads of the scenery that they went to. One of the saddest parts about it, though, was when the car died. Was when their little truck died.
Oh no!
Because that was the point when you realize, oh, this has been a character the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Because Yu-chan or Yu isn't sad about it, but Chi is because Chi drove it the whole time and she tried to fix it and she couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so they turn into a bathtub. And they have like a little bath in it, and while they're in the bath, she's just crying like the whole time, mm-hmm. and just like, oh my gosh, like this is heavy, and it was so good. I enjoyed every little bit of the adventure of Girls Last Tour the entire way through.
Mm-hmm. Me too. It's such a I think it's definitely a series that, you know, it did get a lot of praise for the anime version, but I feel like the manga aspect isn't really talked about much, and I would highly, highly recommend people check it out.
I feel kind of confused, though, about the last scene. Like, because it shows all the locations, and then it goes to back to the final location of the roof, or the top of the city,
mm-hmm.
and they're not there anymore. And it shows this little symbol that they were lying on. Like, they propped themselves up against this little symbol, and I didn't understand the significance of the symbol that they were lying on.
Maybe we got to read the entire series over again.
Possibly.
Yeah, maybe it's like something referenced in an earlier volume.
Yeah, but the last picture that they show you is this symbol that was on a piece of metal that they were lying against before they went to sleep, and that's the last time you ever see them as they go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the thank you, in the afterwards, where it's just like, thank you for reading my book, this is at the end, it shows them in, like, a field of wheat. And like, she doesn't have her jacket on, she has, like, a white shirt on with her army fatigues on, and they're standing in this field of wheat, and I was just like, oh, they died. Like, that was yeah. what I thought of that, like, it shows them in the field of wheat, and I was just like, that's heaven, because mm-hmm. they died. Because they're the last two girls left on Earth, and there's no way they could possibly survive.
Mm.
But it doesn't show them die in any way, shape, or form. And it doesn't even show them where they die because they leave. Because their bodies aren't there in that final picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just kind of talk about, I'm happy that, like, life is just the happiness that we share on Earth together.
Yeah.
Like, and it was really just interesting. Oh.
It's a very beautiful story.
Like, it's only six volumes, and they're very... I read it, like, in an hour. Each volume only took an hour, maybe less, because some pages don't even have any dialogue on it. You just flip through it and see the scenery that they're traveling through, mm-hmm. and then they start talking. But Yu and Chi are amazing characters. I love...
They were very well balanced. I remember that from the show.
Yeah, and they're super cute. But they're not like moe cute. They're adorable little girls just surviving in this desolate, war-torn wasteland where literally everybody is dead. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And the whole story is just philosophy talks.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And I hope they make some sort of OVA or final series or something to finish it off, because it'd be great.
Because the anime series took up about four volumes of yes. the manga. So I would say that maybe they do a movie to finish it up.
Yeah, or maybe like a 10-episode season.
That's a possibility as well.
So, but I don't know. I think Girls Last Tour deserves at least an ending animation.
Yeah.
As do I. And you know, they were hinting at something on the Twitter.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a possibility, because I know White Fox just finished up with, you know, Goblin Slayer. They could be coming back to Girls Last Tour to finish it up.
Hmm.
Now TV Hotline, how can we help?
I've got the best spot on the sofa and a big mug of tea, but I need some great TV. What have you got?
How about
got over 300 box sets for you to curl up with, like Game of Thrones.
Amazing!
And we've brought must-see movies so you can put your feet up, with over 1,000 like Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Great! Sorted!
Relax with over 1,000 movies and 300 box sets streaming on Now TV. 18 plus, month passes auto, renew terms apply.
I'm Ross McMahon, CEO of Kendi NutriCare. We export all over the world. I realised that we had a unique product, but we need big markets. Going into export markets is challenging. You definitely need advice from the Department for International Trade. With their help, you identify good distributors in each country. If you're really passionate about it, you believe in your own quality, that passion will come true when you meet people in overseas markets. If we can, you can. Search Exporting is Great.
Okay.
The only thing that I can really think about that I have to talk about for what we're watching is I've been watching The Rising of the Shield Hero.
Yeah.
Because recommended by you.
Yeah.
And
me, Jonathan.
I like it. I think it's good. I really enjoy the characters.
Yeah. I think it's one of the best this season, personally.
Probably. You were correct in the sense that I was like, oh, isekai, ugh. Like, and then you're like, no, it's really interesting how they put it into play. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then I watched it and it's true. I was like, oh, okay, that is kind of interesting that it's not really an isekai, and but it kind of is.
It totally is. No, it's really an isekai.
No, it is, but like, it's not the, it's kind of, again, a deconstruction of it, mm-hmm. where everybody's just like, can we just go home? And they're like, all right, we can't go home. And then, I don't know. It's just strange. But Raftalia is cute. I like her. She's a good character.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that it's just like, oh, demi-humans don't age like humans do. They age by their level. So it's just like, oh, okay. That's weird.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And then, because then it's like, then how did her parents age? Because they'd have to level up in order for them to age, but her parents were adults, which means that they would have to be...
They were just slaughtered.
Yeah, which means they'd have to be level 21 plus, which wouldn't happen because they're doing great at level 19. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, but it's just stupid because it's anime. That was just one of the things that absolutely bothered me. And so... it's an interesting story. I like the controversial take that it has on an issue that is pretty prominent, and I enjoy that portion of it a lot. And then the characters are just so annoying, or the evil characters are less evil and more just idiots.
Yeah.
Because they're annoying.
And it's not in a Team Rocket way either.
Yeah, it's in a like a, aren't we so evil guys? And everybody's just like, no, you're just dumb. Like, it's just like, that's stupid. Come up with a new plan, kind of a thing. But it's still fun to watch because it's fun to watch the shield hero be the good guy and get it over these other guys, you know? Who's be like, aha, you're the bad guys, and then the series wants to tell you that you're the bad guys, you know, and shield hero's just like, but everybody still thinks I'm the bad guy, but then it's just like, oh no, nobody really thinks you're the bad guy anymore because you're such a good guy, man. It's like, that's the basic premise of the show. I'm just saying. And then there's Raftalia, who's a raccoon, and she's a raccoon girl, and so that's like, 10 points! Like, it's like, ah!
So, yeah. 10 points for Gryffindor.
Yeah, you know.
Wait. So, what?
Is raccoon girl.
She's a raccoon girl. She's like an anime girl that has raccoon ears and a raccoon tail. So
no,
everybody should watch it.
No, I get that, but I was so caught up in shield, sword, spear, arrow, raccoon.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of funny thing. The show I'm just finding is just straight up entertaining to watch.
Yeah,
I'm super entertained by it, and that's about it. Like, it's just, I watch it and I'm like, oh, I wonder what's gonna happen next episode. Ah, you got him again, you know. And then and then I move on, and then I watch Promised Neverland, and I'm just like, this is art. Promised Neverland is art, and it is wonderful. And why aren't you reading the manga yet? The anime is also awesome. The anime is amazing. It got to one of my favorite scenes in episode 8. It got to one of my favorite scenes in all of Promised Neverland. It was one of those points where it's just like, that's where the manga volume ended, and I have to wait 2 months to find out what happened afterwards. It was like, oh! And then another one is still yet to come, and I'm very, very, very excited about that.
Are you talking about the volume that you just gave me?
No, no. One that happens while they're in Gracefield.
I gotcha. Okay. So. Yep. I understand.
That's it.
Cool. Do we want to talk about con culture?
Yeah, I do.
Let's talk about con culture.
So,
warning, I'm just going to preemptively strike. We may make fun of some people in this like we normally do.
Every con month, we always have to put out a warning out there that we're going to say stuff, and just know that it's not about you. It's about the people who are worse than you.
That's a good way to put it, because it's true. It's so true.
And if you see the flaws, then obviously you're one of those people. If you say if you do think, well, there's nothing wrong with this, then maybe you're a part of it. But
trigger warning.
We don't have that. This is wicked anime.
Yeah, the people who we've already offended are gone at this point, probably.
Like that one girl from My Wife Is Not Weird.
So there was a time where. You're a kid and you go to a convention for the first time as a young nerd and you're like, man, this is my world. I'm finally home. This is everything I want to. Think back to 2008 when Andrew and I were going to Anime Boston for the first time.
And awkward high schoolers.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I didn't know this existed.
Trying to find our place in the world, and we figured out that we were convention nerds. Like, we love conventions. We love being around these people, and we were having fun. And then...
like, a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then suddenly, let's jump a couple... years into the future, walk into Anime Boston, feels like you get kicked in the face.
What?
and it's strictly just from like interacting with people, you know, like just, and it's not everybody. There's a lot of great people that we've met at conventions.
Oh yeah, conventions are a great place to walk up to somebody you don't know and you automatically have something in common.
Yeah, you just talk to your friends with them.
Yeah, you can make friends so easily at conventions that it's wonderful.
Yeah,
I love that.
The stipulation is that there are people who are like, who live this life. They live the con life, and it's not even how they make their living. It's just how they fuel their life. It's how they fill their bucket, you know, to say like, okay, I'm feeling good about myself now.
Their bucket. I like the analogy.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a school teacher thing. So,
I threw you off. My bad.
No, it's okay.
Well, let's put it this way. Okay, so I love the con culture as well. I love going to conventions. Conventions are fun, but not just as an attendee. I have to participate somehow.
Yeah, there you go.
And participation in con culture is a very huge thing, because if you're just a con goer and you just like to enjoy the experience, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I would love to go for a weekend and just. Buy things and
turn my brain off, waste money.
Yeah, buy things, waste a ton of money on animation cells, and go to different shows and then realize, oh, I didn't go to any panels at all. That was weird. What did I do all weekend? Oh, I was in the dealer's room the whole time.
Oh, my money's gone.
And then I wanted to, you know, invest all my time in creating panels because I know how to make people laugh. Mm-hmm. And getting people to cheer for you and make you laugh while you're on stage and you worked on a show that's near and dear to your heart and you put a lot of time and effort into it is really rewarding and really fun. And Jonathan and I know how to play to an audience. We've studied public speaking and we've studied a lot of science and how the brain works, and that goes into a lot of our convention thing. So that's how we contribute to the convention culture. We like to put on shows and we like to make people laugh, because making people laugh is a rush.
Yep.
You know, oh my gosh, these people think we're funny. That makes me feel good. But now that I'm doing the art thing, I always thought of how cool it would be to try my hand at doing Artist Alley.
Yeah.
Because now I'm finding, well, I don't really want to spend my money on anything anymore. I don't really want to see anybody else's panels because my panels are the best. Everybody thinks that. Everybody thinks that their own panels are the best.
Every panelist thinks that. We're not being conceited. It's just every panelist, every person who has ever made a panel thinks that.
And I don't want to do those anymore. So I'm thinking, oh, well, then maybe I'll try to make money because I really like art. And people would buy things from me and I can make money by making things for them. But the only downside to that is you don't get to experience the convention fully. Mm-hmm. But it would be really fun just to try it out sometime.
The place where you're talking about right now, where con culture comes in, is if you're going to set up a booth, be sure that you draw a Steven Universe picture.
Steven Universe sucks.
But people will buy it.
People will buy it. Because people will buy your Steven Universe. Because if you either draw Steven Universe fan art, or you can draw in the style of Steven Universe.
Cal art style.
AKA Tumblr artists.
Yeah.
What are those?
hell, they all work at Cartoon Network. they will make tons of money because a lot of people don't know that Steven Universe is awful and will buy it. So...
This isn't the show. This is our topic's not to crap on Steven Universe.
Though I could for like 3 hours.
A long time, yes. But the
excessive crapping.
I just can't stop my bowels.
So con culture, people who live for con culture is like. So this is where con depression comes in, is you're at a convention, you learn that you are in a place where you are accepted by people, and then you have to forcibly join the real world again.
Yeah, go home.
Yeah, which can be very jarring because suddenly you have to leave all that stuff behind that you were at, so you try to find more cons to go to fill that void. You try to go as many as you can, and you start living this con life where it's almost like you're, you know, living out of your car where you have clothes.
But I think everybody has their first home convention. Yeah. The way that Anime Boston is our home convention, no other convention that you go to will feel like your home convention. It just makes you miss Anime Boston.
You see familiar faces. You see, you know, people, and sometimes it's a bad thing, but you see people who are...
Well, we've made a ton of our fans have come up to us at Anime Boston.
From Anime Boston.
And they are awesome.
I remember there was a time where, like, we were just walking down the hall and people asked us for a picture, and I was like, I've been cosplaying for, like, 3 years, and the one year that I don't cosplay, I get my first picture taken of me.
Yeah, we get to see our, you know, fans like Haru loves our show, Mike loves our show, Ian loves our show, you know, and they're all at Anime Boston, so we get to see them all the time, and it's really cool, you know? And we have a bunch of other people who only know us. I don't think they listen to our show. They know us for our panels. Like, so that we have this one crowd that always comes to hardcore anime. And they always sit in the front row. We love seeing
them.
They're
like our hype crowd.
Yeah, they're our hype crowd. So, like, if we need to get the audience on our side for hardcore anime, those are our people. Like, we go to them to make sure that they're screaming the loudest so that they can let people know in the back that you have to be screaming louder than these fools up front. You know? We love seeing those guys.
It's like those late night TV shows that have the flashing applause signs. There are flashing yell signs.
Yeah.
I will now get one of those flashing applause signs.
Oh, yes, please do.
You should, because we do that kind of junk all the time with that. But yeah, so con culture.
Let's talk about it.
What is it?
I thought you guys
We've been talking for 10 minutes now, so figured give somebody else a turn.
Evan?
Okay. So I feel like con culture is where people can behave in a specific means only at specific events. And those specific events, of course, being cons. Mm-hmm. You know, people who go and do, you know, photo ops and cosplay tests and act a little bit silly here and there too. You know, it's kind of like a 3-day Halloween event or 4-day Halloween event.
Yeah, depending on if you're like us and you go prematurely. Not prematurely, but I mean prematurely kind of, because we really don't spend a lot of time at the convention.
That's
but we have dinner.
That's part of the con culture though, is like, oh my gosh, Anime Boston is tomorrow, but we're still here.
Yeah. I know. Dude, I have to tell you, I'm so happy not having to worry about press this year. I don't have to come up with questions. I don't have to go meet with people. It's just gonna be fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm excited.
I don't have to meet.
I still look forward to asking questions because I have fun doing interviews.
Yeah, no, you do like a really good job doing your interviews. I think you'll just find that there's gonna be an absence of people not asking them what they like to eat for dinner, which is what me and Jonathan ask, because they're just like, I wasn't expecting that question, but okay.
We ask better questions than that.
No, I know. I'm just talking about the weird questions that nobody, literally nobody ever asked them. Mm-hmm. But it's just, yeah, so people
go to conventions because on their in their normal daily lives they can't act a certain way that they can normally around people, and you that's why you find a lot of people who have social anxieties and people who have disabilities are often hanging out at these places because this is where you get to be different. I don't know why anime is the medium for that. I mean, you get it at Comic-Cons too.
I'm going to be blunt. It's because it's weird.
Yeah.
And in
American culture, mainstream American culture, anime is weird.
My theory on this is because anime is presented in a more expressive form than any other sort of geek culture. And a lot of people have trouble expressing themselves when they're in, you know, normal garb. So when they go and cosplay, they are able to showcase like their own legit pure emotions just behind a mask.
This is true. That's a very good point.
And I'm not saying like that, you know, that people are weird, but I feel like that everybody's weird. People of con culture see this as a different aspect where it's like, well, I've been alone in this real world for myself, and so now I have a place where people hate or kind of are standoffish about this thing, so I'll check it out because people are standoffish towards me, you know?
Well, that's what's really cool is we always go and we do our panels, and then we have a Q&A session, and we're just like, nobody's going to want to ask us questions. And then everybody always can find a way to ask us questions.
And questions we've never heard before, too.
People always come up with the most interesting questions that they just... Are you going to sneeze?
cough.
People always come up with the most interesting questions that we never really think about ourselves, which is bad because we need to be thinking about them. And then they ask us and we're just like, I don't know that. And they're like, uh-oh, there are fraud detectors going off. But I don't know.
So con culture is also something that doesn't mix well with regular culture. I think that's why it's classified as con culture, is because it only belongs in the con. And I know we've talked about this in past con months before, but it was a year ago, so you probably don't remember. When we talk about the two cultures mixing, especially at a place, we have the best example of it. I actually had a great example of it in Florida too. So when you have a con that's at like in a convention center, the people who are there are only there for the convention. But if you have a con at a convention center that's attached to a hotel in a mall, like the Heinz Convention Center, or if you have one at a country club, which I would talk about ShadowCon, which was in Florida, that awkward little con that I went to about 2 years ago now.
Well, I don't know. We went to, I couldn't tell what was more awkward, is your experience at ShadowCon or our experience at
Rhode Island Comic Con?
No, what was that called? That one with all the chainmail and stuff that was in that small hotel. What was it?
Super Mega Fest?
No, that was closer. But Evan, you went to us with this one. What was it at, like AbbeyCon or?
I don't remember.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The one that was in the Westin, the downstairs of the Westin.
Arisa!
ArisaCon!
Arisa!
That was like a super special experience because it was just...
It was kind of like a craft show.
I guess so. But it was just... I don't know what it was trying to be. It was really interesting. You know, we had so many different cultures clashing at ArisaCon. But we were also mixed in with just because it was in a lobby of a hotel. You just had people checking into the hotel, like trying to go stay there. And it was so weird.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're talking about, mixing these cultures together, where when you mix these two cultures together, you just have people standing in a lobby in costume and then everybody being else standing around like, what's going on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is weird because once the weekend ends, people who are part of a con culture just go back to that regular thing. And I remember being a little kid, or a younger kid, I wasn't like a little kid, but like being excited about it and it hitting that con depression for the first time.
Oh my gosh, that was over a decade ago.
Yeah. Does anybody remember their first con depression story? Greg, do you remember your first con depression bout?
It was probably after I first left I want to say AAC. Mm. So for those who don't know, that's another anime con in New Hampshire.
And it's literally not. It's not another anime. It's literally called another anime.
Right.
And that's where Greg became the security guy.
That is true. That is where I first got a security job. At anime con, it's a smaller con, and the staff and people at that con are amazing. Mm-hmm. And when I left and had to go home because I made so many like friends there that. It was kind of depressing because they all live in New Hampshire and they're such a tight-knit group. Mm-hmm. And there's only a few of us that live in Mass. So for me to have to go so far south and be like, yep, well, they're all still like talking to each other and they hang out. And I'm just kind of like down here in Massachusetts sitting here all depressed. it was tough. But yeah, that was my first experience, I think, of post-con depression.
Evan?
You know, honestly, I don't think I've ever really gotten con depression, post-con depression.
Really?
Really.
I thought that happened to everybody.
I would say,
it's all the craze.
Well, think about this from the perspective of someone who, like, runs around and does, like, a lot of stuff. Like, I'm excited to be part of Anime Boston or another anime convention, but by the time it's over, I'm like, okay, bed.
Yeah. Ow. But we're talking about your very first con ever, though. Did you ever experience that depression?
Okay, so the very first time I went was Anime Boston 2008.
Yep.
And I didn't have time to feel depressed because as soon as I was done at Anime Boston, I went two streets over and saw Avenue Q.
So you're just having a party. Like, you're like a party. So the party never stops for Evan.
That's true. I'm just thinking about how true that statement is. And
thank you.
Yeah, Anime Boston 2008 was our first convention, or Anime Con. Yeah, convention in general. And that's where we got our first real con experience. And that was over 10 years ago. How weird is that?
We were children.
Yeah.
11 years ago. Yeah. I was 23, and you guys must have been...
17. Our first con was 17? Oh,
yeah, first con we were 17, because we couldn't buy hentai. I remember that specifically, that you had to be carded to buy hentai, and that was a no-no.
And that's why kids, they went to the convention. Just kidding.
I just remember walking up to a table that had a bunch of DVDs on it, and I'm just like, I've never seen this before, and I was like, oh... Why is it under plastic? Oh! Yeah, it's just like, why is this called Cool Devices? Oh!
You see, I feel like a lot more people should have Cool Devices in their library solely because one of the voice actresses in Cool Devices is the woman who plays Pikachu.
Oh, Are you talking about for the Japanese?
Yeah, it's Ikue Utana.
Well, there's another anime out there called... It's like one of those H animes that's like halfway into the H zone and halfway an actual legit anime called Hitman... What is it? Hitman Guy or something like that. It's like a sci-fi space thing that's hentai, but not really because they don't show anything except for boobs and sex. Or sexual explicit actions.
That's everything.
And there's an English dub to it. There's an English dub to it. Mm-hmm. And the voice actress who plays one of the voice actors is actually, she at one time was a legitimate voice actress. In the same way that Ping Pong Club. Do you remember that old disgusting anime called Ping Pong Club about the little kids? And half of the voice cast were hentai voice actors. And the other half was Crispin Freeman. Who didn't go by Crispin Freeman. He's like, this is way off topic, by the way. But I guess it's a part of con culture. Fire all those doujins. Which I don't do anymore.
It's not Crispin Freeman. My name is Dick Hard Cheese.
His name was like Damien Matthews or something like that. That was his alias. He's like, I don't want people knowing I work on this show.
Yeah. It's like how Bryan Cranston used to go by the name Lee Stone.
Yeah.
When he was on Power Rangers?
Power Rangers.
Power Rangers and Macross Plus.
Ah. All right, I think our conversation has devolved into nothingness.
So. Yeah, Burt Reynolds, where are you?
Okay, so do we want to end and the conversation there?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
All right. So that was our first bout of convention talk for...
How much longer do we have for Con Month? How many episodes?
So technically,
like two
last,
more.
Technically, the last episode was supposed to also be a Con Month episode.
Uh-huh.
And we usually only run Con Month through till Anime Boston happens, but because Anime Boston's happening in the middle of the month this week, we're going to Anime Boston. Our next recording is going to be our Anime Boston episode.
Is it really? It's not that close, is it?
So our next recording is the 24th, and then after that it would be the 14th, which is the Sunday before Anime Boston.
So it's off this year.
Yes.
Yeah, because Anime Boston's on the 19th.
Yeah, Boston's the 19th, and that is the day of our recording.
Unless we want to make some schedule adjustments behind the scenes.
Maybe. We'll figure it out. Hey, listen, you're going to be listening to this episode or the next episode anyway, so.
we'll let you know.
Yeah. Do we have any fan service this week?
Not that I was aware of.
I don't think that we got anything new. So, so let's talk about some shameless plugs.
All right. So if you guys want to join in on our conversation, maybe you have a convention that you'd like to go to, and maybe you want to join in on our con culture conversation, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can message us your as well messages and comment on cool things like the last episode that we forgot to totally release and publicize. And, news stories and articles and events that we might be going to, and you can comment on those and like our posts and share us around the internet so that we become famous. And then, of course, you can find us at nerdyshow.com, where you can find this podcast if you're not listening to it on any other podcasts, listening devices like Podchasers or
Stitcher
or Google Play or wherever you can find your podcast listening things. And then you can find our videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. And you can find us also at our social medias, which I would just say is Twitter, where you can tweet us at @YoWickedAnime. And, of course, you can find me, Andrew, I'm just going to shamelessly plug this right here. You can find me at facebook.com/AFLMArt, where I am an artist now. And you can buy commissions from me because I am open for commissions. And you can also find me at instagram.com@AFLM_art. You can find me and like me and follow me there, and it's a fun time because I do art. Evan!
All right, so for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and facebook.com/LandOfAsh, including... And do not forget about the other sites under the Land of Ash, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smash Drunk. And I'll be at PAX East. I'll definitely be at Anime Boston. I'll be at Anime Expo. We're going to have one hell of a con month.
He's going to be avoiding that con depression.
Yeah.
Anime Expo. Man.
I have a hypothesis of what might be happening at Anime Expo, because there are two movies that are going to be premiering just a couple of weeks after Anime Expo. The Konosuba film and the Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai movie. I reckon at least one of those movies is going to premiere at Anime Expo.
They always have some sort of interesting premiere there, that is for sure. But you also get to meet our West Coast fans, which is pretty sweet. So,
yeah. Hey, are they going to have City Hunter premiering at, based off the guests that have been at Anime Boston?
I am assuming, yes. I am hoping that they do premiere City Hunter here. That would be a really great one to attend.
And I'm talking about the French film, right?
No, the new anime movie.
Oh, all right.
City Hunter? With Jackie Chan, right? You're still getting Jackie Chan?
No, but you're getting the Cat's Eyes girls.
So we totally didn't talk about
our panels and guests and stuff like that for Anime Boston.
That's true.
Well, that's for the next episode, I guess.
I guess we will.
You know what I'm also surprised we never talked about? We didn't talk about the Pokemon announcements.
You mean Sword and Shield?
Yeah.
Oh, man. We're just going to have to compile this for the next episode.
You guys should definitely listen to the next episode because there's going to be some awesome announcements on panels that we are doing at Anime Boston. We're just giving you a little tease of what we're going to potentially do.
And we have to talk about guests and we have to talk about all that kind of fun stuff. So,
all exciting!
So with that, get hyped for the next episode of Con Month. We have guests to talk about. We have panels that we're doing and we have other news-related stories. We're going to talk about things that might be happening at Anime Boston if there aren't any premieres that have been revealed by that time. We're going to be speculating the crap out of the next episode, so be sure to be there. But for now, it's time to sign off the only way we know how.
K-bye! K-bye!
So, I gotta be honest, like, I still have, like, this kid in my son. I saw that sugar romper thing.
You like to dress as an adult baby. Why I do? Then the sugar romper is for you.
Well, have you ever seen the show My Strange Addiction?
Yeah.
Where they actually have, I think My Strange Addiction, there was an episode about I'm a like living like,
yeah,
like a
I
grown
saw
baby.
That. Yeah.
Or something like that.
I also
that.
Saw gonna one punch guy in your buns. Likes his car a lot. Just gonna put it PG. I saw one guy loves to ingest balloons and eat them. One guy really loves nickels, like, fantastic eating obsession with nickels. And something about sniffing, like, glue? Or maybe, like, something with an air horn? Not entirely sure.
I know the eating mattress.
You see, I remember the CSI episode with the grown-up baby man. It was, like, some sort of, like, billion, like, multi-millionaire who had that baby fetish. And they found him dead. And they had to figure out, oh, who's the one who killed the big baby man?
This goes beyond that, sir.
I don't think it does.
Sure. I think that baby guy was married, and his wife would come in and play the part of a mother and, like, feed him.
See, you remember this episode. I'm not the only one.
I swear, I saw bits and pieces of it. Not that I watched My Strange Addiction or whatever the hell it was called.
Wait, you don't fully admit that you watched My Strange Addiction? I watch it all the time. It's like,
oh, I wish they made more of it.
There were only like 13 episodes, and TLC only plays like 13 episodes of it over and over again, but they need to have more episodes.
They only made 13 episodes. They only play all 13 episodes.
Yeah, it needs to have more episodes.
Right, I've seen bits and pieces of it, but that baby one actually was like the balloon eating one was the one I was like, huh, somebody eats balloons.
There was the one, the episode on feeders. Like, people who like to make their partner, like, fatter, like, bigger, like, so they keep feeding them food and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
There was that episode. The one part that I remember about that episode, though, was, like, the super, super dangerous part about, like, they had, like, this belly expansion fetish, and so the person would eat Mentos and then drink Coke so that their stomach would expand. And, like, can you just imagine, like, how medically insane... That
has to have killed somebody.
It might have.
Well, especially because your stomach isn't down here. Your stomach is up here.
Behind your ribs.
Yeah, and so, like, that's just a small balloon going, like, not. It's not, like, expanding your stomach. It's just, like, a, like, yeah.
Gross! And now that I've made everybody cringe...
Let's sign off.
Goodbye.
I'm Adam Sofer, and I'm co-founder of Joe and Seth's Popcorn, and we export our gourmet popcorn all over the world. Our very first experience of exporting was when a French buyer saw our display in an apartment store in London, emailed us out of the blue, and said they wanted to stock us. The first people we turned to were the Department for International Trade, and they really helped us start that export journey. There's a huge opportunity to sell overseas, grow your business faster, and help your cash flow by getting payments in advance. If we can, you can. Search Exporting is Great.